Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our little show. The number, if you'd like to jump in, you will need it. It's 646-478-0616. Call that, and if I see that you've called, I will talk to you, because that's why you're calling, right? Now, there's no guarantees that I'll see that you've called, because I'm not very good at this yet. This is only my 8th, 9th, 10th show. I don't know. I'm not sure if Zigzag's going to make it today. Been so goddamn busy that I haven't been able to touch base with him this week. Got no show notes, no preps. I'm just going to wing it and see how it goes. But if he jumps in, then great. He can wing it with me. otherwise, hey, jump online, give me a call. I'm desperate for something to talk about. But here is one thing that I can talk about, and that is today we had a realtor come over to look at our house. Because, you know, there's a chance that, like I've mentioned before, and I've mentioned so many times now that you're probably just going to roll your eyes when I say this, we might be moving to Nicaragua. Long story short, if you want the long story long, check out the archive and listen to episodes 1 through now. But we had a realtor come over today to look at the place to tell us, yeah, I can sell it for you, or this joint's a dump, good luck. Or, you know, somewhere in between where he might say, hey, if you do these things, it'll be a lot easier to sell. So I had a realtor come over about noon today. And for some reason, I don't know why, this happens to me a lot. And I bet it happens to you, too. I hope it happens to you, too. If it only happens to me, then this is really freaking disturbing. It actually happens to me before every one of these shows, and that is that like 10 minutes before this guy is supposed to show up, I got slammed in the gut by an intense urge to poo-poo, like really bad. Like the dogs were at the back door really, really wanting to go out. So I had the dilemma of do I try to go into the bathroom and get this taken care of before this guy comes over, or run the risk of him showing up while I'm in the middle of combat and there's nothing I can do other than scream out of my bathroom, hang on, I'll get the doors as soon as I can, and then just fumbling around and making a sloppy mess out of everything just to answer the door for the guy. Or do I wait? Do I hold it? But I had no idea how long this guy was going to be here. He could, you know, take a look at the place in 15 minutes and say, do X, Y, and Z and be out of there, or out of here, as the case may be. Or he could be here for 2 hours. I have no idea. And I knew that I probably, the event horizon, the crowning, was at minimum 45 minutes away. I could keep it at bay for 45 minutes. If I'm lucky, the guy might start to notice some serious forehead sweats from me. Around minute 30, I didn't really want to deal with that comfort. So I took the discomfort. So I took the risk of just going into the bathroom and trying to handle it. And luckily, I got it all done. The project was complete with like 5 minutes to spare before the guy showed up. However, when I wrapped the situation up, I liberally doused the entire atmosphere of the bathroom and the entryway of our house, which is what the bathroom is directly off of, with just a barrage of, what do you call them, air fresheners and, you know, that kind of stuff, thinking that that would help me out. And then the guy showed up literally like right then, and I thought, oh, dear Lord, okay, well, here we go. I think I've done a good job of covering this nightmare up. So I let the guy in. We do the meet and greet. Everything's cool. And then I say, hey, let me show you around the house. Let's start with the entryway in the bathroom. Oh, God damn it. Why did I say that? So I let him into the bathroom, and he doesn't flinch or make a face or grimace or run out the door. But I can tell it smells like someone took a big greasy shit in a flower bed or had like a potpourri enema and then just ripped a big nasty fart. So it smells like bowel movement and air freshener. I'm totally embarrassed. And either he didn't notice or he was too nice to say anything about it. But turns out he can actually sell our house. He didn't come out of the bathroom and say, burn this place to the fucking ground, or here's 10 bucks, we can use this place for scraps. So that went really well. I feel much better now, at least in that region. My stomach does hurt for another reason that I'll maybe get into later. Looks like somebody's calling. This might be Zigzag. Let's see. Hello?
Rufus?
Who is this?
Are you there?
Yeah, who is this? Can you hear me?
I can't.
Yeah, I think you got the wrong number.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, all right. I will call back another time.
No, it's just me.
I know. What's going on there, Rufus?
Oh, nothing much. Were you listening to my story, my nightmare about the realtor that came over to the house?
I was. Is it official? Do you have a sign in your front yard now?
No. This is a preliminary thing so that in the event that we decide to, then we kind of know what to do. And it turns out that our house is in pretty good shape.
Oh, that's good. I mean, he like did a home inspection or he just kind of walked around?
Yeah, it wasn't anything as official as an inspection. He just kind of walked around and showed him each room, and you know, I was expecting him to say things like, yeah, that paint job is horrible, or those baseboards look like shit. And he didn't. He said, you know, compared to other houses I see, and considering you guys have been here 7 years, this place looks great. Just keep doing all the touch-up work, and you should be in good shape.
So obviously, he didn't walk on the tile floor without his shoes on?
No. I thought about having him remove his shoes before he walked in the house, because it's tradition in our family. And I thought...
You're Chinese?
Given what had just...
You're Japanese?
No. I'm of Japanese descent. Japanese and Native American. I'm Jap-American. I probably shouldn't say that. I'm terribly honest because I want honest feedback. And I thought about saying, look, I ruined this and I ruined that and I sucked at doing this. But I held back and I just... let him, you know, take a cursory glance at everything, and he said everything's good. So,
just remember the market sets the price.
That's true. And once somebody buys it, they won't discover the tile's fucked up for a month, and then I'm out of the picture.
So they're wrestling on the tile and cutting their backs and elbows up?
Yeah. When their kids are wrestling on the tile, and then 15 minutes later, they're in the emergency room.
It's always that first domestic dispute that brings out the flaws in the house.
Yeah, that's true. That brings them out and creates a few more.
Well, that's why I mean, broken doors, whatnot.
Most of the domestic dispute damages around here are about the size of my fist, oddly enough.
That's a serious coincidence.
Yes, it is. Not only in the house.
Better
but...
your fist than your head.
Yeah, that's true. Better than a fist on my head.
How's your week going there, Rufus? That was the highlight of your week so far?
That's the highlight of my week so far. Yeah, how about you?
I actually just got back from the gym, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm thinking that probably the next big thing in athletics is probably going to be a gym for overweight people. With couches and TVs and ashtrays and beer, all the stuff that makes would make exercising fun instead of torture.
I think they call that Alamo Draft House.
Oh, there you go, the big screen even.
So yeah, the gym,
as long as there is something you could cycle or move your feet on.
As long as the exercises can be done sitting down and with your hands free.
Well, the amazing thing is I actually am a world champion at 12-ounce curls.
Right. So
I do actually
the gym. Is it a new development, or have you been going to the gym for a while, and why?
It's been a couple months. Why? Because I got sick of getting winded tying my shoes.
Wait, you
putting on
socks. How to tie your shoes yet?
No, but she can help me with my socks. The one thing she refused to do is help me wipe myself.
Well, you need to set that kid straight.
Yeah, she's doing some time right now. Got her locked in the basement. No, I shouldn't say that either, because that's a joke. Actually, she's actually with an art camp today.
To art camp?
Yeah, she's a lot like you, Rufus. She loves to draw.
Awesome.
She's a little better than you at it, but, you know, what can I say?
I don't know. That would mean she's pretty awesome.
It would. I mean, looking at your website, that the Led Zeppelin, was that a Led Zeppelin cover that you drew on there?
No, the one I did for Led Zeppelin, yeah.
Oh, that was you. That's right. That's right. And you did all those Grateful Dead covers too, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I did.
And Axel's Bold as Love by Jimi Hendrix.
Uh-huh. And Phil Collins' No Jacket Required.
Really? That takes talent right there.
Yeah, it does.
So, did you get a chance to see Cocaine and Lobster? Or was it Lobster and Cocaine?
No, I didn't. When I saw your email about it, I was in the middle of something else, and I kind of mentally bookmarked it, but I never went back to it. But it was like a video documentary, right? Or a news thing?
Yeah, it was. It was on that place in Nicaragua where finding a bale of cocaine is basically the equivalent of winning the lottery.
On a daily basis, even.
Well, I mean, most people only find one bale of cocaine, I think. But, probably one comes ashore every year. But apparently you don't want to be the person that finds the cocaine.
Oh, really? Because the other people want it.
Because the other people, you, like, build a brick house when most of the houses there are not made of concrete. And then you have to put a giant wall around your house so people don't try to rob you on a daily basis.
Wow.
So steer clear of the bricks of cocaine when you go down there, or the bundles.
So what was the in the story, the lobster connection? Were they just comparing it to, like, being lobster because they go find it, or...?
No, lobster, actually they call the cocaine the white lobster, because in Honduras, apparently, they're overfishing lobsters. And, like, most of the people in the villages actually make the young men make their living fishing for lobsters, and now they are diving too deep because they're overfishing the lobsters, and most of them are getting the bends, or, you know, diving sickness from going too deep and coming up too fast. And they don't really have any way to – the nearest pressure chamber, nitrogen chamber, is like 12 hours away. And most people can't get there in time, so they end up either dead or paralyzed or out of their mind. It's a feel-good story, that's for sure. It's definitely a feel-good story.
Sounds like a rom-com.
It is a rom-com, no doubt. The happiest ones, I think, were the lobsters.
Yeah, they hardly ever get the bends.
Well, and their death was certainly short and sweet.
Yeah, they probably find more of the cocaine, too.
So yeah, I was definitely thinking about maybe you might want to steer clear of becoming a lobster fisherman when you're down there and just kind of go for the cocaine. I would just go towards coming to the beach for cocaine.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I was going to split my time between doing coke and farming lobsters, but no, I'll just do more coke.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You should probably just become the middleman who buys the coke for $5,000 a kilo from the local people, and then probably try to double your money until you get shot in the face.
Yeah, okay, that's a brilliant idea.
Well, I'm excited to hear about your journey down there as a future expat.
Well, I
that's what we call people that do expats. I'm invited? All right, I'm going. I'm on my way. No, actually, you get down there first and let me know that it's okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, I look forward to you being my mule. I mean, my my buddy down there.
And I'm also going to need you to check on the price of beer before I do anything rash and head down there.
What brand are you drinking these days?
Whatever's cold, usually. No, Miller Lite. Miller Lite, mostly.
Miller Lite, really?
What about yourself? Yeah.
The show's over.
Yeah, sorry. I've gotten old and gray with this crazy orange beard.
The weird beard. Well, we're sponsored by Bud Light. They don't
know. Oh, really?
But they sponsor the show quite heavily every episode.
I want to apologize to Budweiser and Bud Light, because when I stopped drinking Bud Light, I did notice that their stock went down about $10 or $12.
Yeah, that's about the time I got into Bud Light, because it was so cheap.
Lucky them. And then I did notice that it actually had another run.
Is that what they meant on the Fox Business Report when they were talking about the Anheuser-Busch Dom effect?
That's exactly what they were talking about, yes, the Dom effect.
Or the Dom crash,
I guess. A lot of people that I knew to get into – I called a lot of people to get into Miller Lite right away.
Well, that's insider trading, isn't it?
Probably going to put up 10 or 12 bucks.
I think
the IRS is here. Thanks, Cliff.
Oh, sorry.
No, I mean,
they're actually probably listening to this anyway.
Probably. Yeah, Miller Lite, but I drink Pabst sometimes. I don't know. I was drinking Bud Light Lime for a while. Have you tried the Bud Light Lime?
No, I haven't, but it sounds awesome.
It's excellent for breakfast.
Is that right? With or without cereal?
Oh, without cereal for sure. But you get plenty of vitamin C, so you're pretty much set for the whole day.
That's true. You'll never get scurvy drinking Bud Light Lime.
No, definitely not. Or DWI.
I'll tell you what's good, speaking of beer, because I only drink, literally, I only drink Bud Light, and that's, you know, may as well drink water. But I do sometimes enjoy a good beer if I'm at a bar and they don't have Bud Light. And I can highly recommend.
I don't go
two
to bars that don't have Bud Light.
It's a thing in Austin now, man. There's some bars just don't have Bud Light because it's like the hipster thing to do. It's too corporate, so they don't have Bud Light,
have
right?
They have Pabst, right?
That's weird, you know. I don't understand the whole hipster dynamic, because they won't have like Bud Light because it's too corporate, but they will have like Lone Star. Well, I guess because it's local, and we'll have Pabst, and I guess because it's cheap. But I don't know. I've been to several bars where they don't have Bud Light. Yeah. Well,
I want to say you're welcome to the people at Pabst for me personally bringing Pabst back and making it cool in Austin, Texas. You're welcome.
You did, but you didn't leave much to work with because we drank so much of it.
Hey, when you could get a keg of Pabst for $29 with free ice over by St. Edward's, I was there.
Didn't your grandfather or somebody own like a Pabst warehouse?
That's
or
correct.
Brewery?
You really are sure.
I heard about Pabst from you.
Yes. Actually, my grandpa owned the biggest beer and wine and liquor distributorship in Indiana, and their best-selling product was Pabst. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Really?
Of course, it was 1970.
Well, I don't remember anything bad about Pabst. I know that the drink of choice in those days was Pabst or Busch Light, and you
Busch
turned me on
Light,
both of them.
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
we did.
I had
drink
really
quite
no...
a bit of Busch Light.
Did indeed, yes.
We didn't get out a lot, did we, Rufus?
No, but that's kind of how I like it, man. I'm a homebody.
Me too. I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. We had more fun at home than most people had out. I would guarantee that.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say that that's still the case with me. My
me
wife
too.
Doesn't like it, But I have a hell of a lot more fun at home than I do going out to, you know, quote unquote, do things.
Right. Like spend money.
Yes.
Meet
or
people.
Socialize.
How overrated is meeting people? Jesus Christ.
Meeting people blows, dude, because the more people you meet, the more you have to keep meeting the same people because they're like, hey, we met. Now let's meet again every other weekend.
Right. Remember me?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I met you before.
Yeah.
Didn't we meet somewhere?
Remember what I do?
No, we didn't.
I remember what you do.
That's like, I don't know. Are you on Facebook, Rufus?
Yes, I am.
That's a shame.
I know. I used to be heavily involved. I'm not anymore. But, I mean, I'm there and I check it every day, but I used to be really into it. Now I just find it pretty obnoxious and annoying.
And my idea is that if I want people to know what I'm doing and where I'm at, I will call and tell them, or at least text them.
Yes.
I don't need to put it on a wall or let everyone know, hey, I just fucking took a dump. It was awesome. Wish you were there. Unless it's your realtor, of course. I'm going to put him on my speed dial.
But I actually follow a group on Facebook called I Just Took a Dump, and we just all share pictures of our dumps. And we rate
awesome.
Them.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I like about Facebook.
Scale?
It's on a 2 scale. I give that one a 2.
Better
everybody
than a
1.5
scale. I guess Taco Bell put you on the 1.5 scale.
Yeah. No,
tell
but
me,
I,
tell me
I
what
liked you... the, well, I like the Facebook because it this is so psychologically disturbing, because it meant that I could socialize, like, virtually, vicariously, but still stay at home and not really hang out with anybody.
But feel like you got your complete, we're friends on Facebook.
It satisfied the other people, I think.
There you go. Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from with that, even though you didn't friend me.
Did you request a friend thing?
No, I don't even have a Facebook account.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. Facebook's for fags. And by that I mean English people who like cigarettes. What?
Huh? What?
I said by that I mean English people that like cigarettes.
Yeah.
Fags. Anybody English people call cigarettes?
Well, cigarette smoking English people are pretty gay.
I'll tell you what, I got a guy that works for me, right? I won't mention his name, but he's a big Facebook guy, okay? I mean, like, lives and breathes for Facebook. Like, a lot of times when I go into his office, and he's already left for the day, and I look at his screen, he's, like, got all this Facebook crap up there.
And he's still working for you. You're like...
Yeah, believe it or not. He's teetering, though. He's on the edge. He's definitely on the edge. But couple months ago, I can't remember what happened. Oh, it was right before the election. And something happened, and he did some crazy. He put some crazy shit on his wall, you know. I don't know what it was. But he got befriended by, like, 12 people, okay? And he's got, like, 400 friends. Like, 80% of them, I'm pretty sure, are people he's actually never met.
Sure, of course.
But 12 people befriended him. And he came in the next day and was, like, crushed. I mean, he couldn't even work. He was, like, crying.
What?
And I was so annoyed by that, I wanted to punch him in the face.
This is a man.
Yes, this is a... I would call him a man-child.
Wow.
But, yeah,
okay.
He came in and was, like, crying all day and, like, belly aching, and he had to go home early. I was like, you pussy, get real. Are you serious with this? And he was kind of out of it for a week. But then, like, 3 people apologized and friended him again. And I'm pretty sure that they were all like, oh, I don't really have any friends, but I'll make some my Facebook friend. I'm down 1, so I don't want to make up new friends, so I have, like, more friends than this guy. Yeah, I'm
bashing
Facebook. That's right. I'm doing it, people.
Go for it. Go for it. I mean, I'm on the brink of bashing it, too. Because, I mean, when I got into
it. Go for it, Cliff. Just rip.
I'm gonna let out, man. When I joined Facebook, I had no friends. Now I have 375, only because four people dropped me. And I'm crushed. No, but seriously, I joined Facebook because I thought at the time, and I think this is how it was in 2009, is it was just a way that I could, it was like email, where I could email everybody that I gave a shit about stuff. It wasn't like,
right.
Here's what I'm having for lunch, or here's my latest shit. It was like, hey, you know, like in this case, you know, we're going to go visit Nicaragua. Has anybody been there? What can we do? Who wants to look after our dogs? That kind of thing. I mean, it was a real communication. It was like being in a room with people I really fucking gave a shit about. At the time, that was maybe 15 people. Now I seriously do have like 375 quote-unquote friends. Most of those I don't honestly give a fuck about. And they're like people from high school that just sent me the friend thing, and I clicked it because I, you know, whatever, there it is, I'm going to click it. And it's just become incredibly obnoxious, and it's all people posting their religious bullshit and their political bullshit. And, yeah, I will, like, read it just to see what's going on, but I don't hardly ever post anything or comment or participate anymore.
So you're saying that you hate read people's emails and posts?
That I hate read?
You hate read them. You read them so you can get pissed off and think about how stupid they are.
Yes, but the difference is I don't then rant about it on Facebook. Instead, I kick my dogs and scream out their names.
You put it in that special place deep inside of you.
Yes, literally.
Where one day it will boil over.
Yes, I've got a closet full of magazine rounds, and etched into every round is a Facebook person's name and their transgression against me.
Have you ever defriended someone?
I've never defriended someone because I love everyone, but I have been defriended by people.
You have been defriended, Rufus? I find that hard to believe that someone would defriend you.
My only, they must have been hacked. That's the only way anybody would ever befriend me. And they didn't want, obviously a hacker does not want somebody as brilliant as me on the trail. So I'm guessing that's why I was defriended.
They figured you were going to bust it wide open?
Yeah, that and my anti-religious comments, but probably hackers.
So do you actually officially have a date where you're heading out to Nicaragua?
We've booked a bed and breakfast for the 8th through the 12th.
July?
Of August.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess that's an important piece of the puzzle there.
So did you get plane tickets or you just have a place to stay? Or were you
going
to drive?
No, I'm not going to drive through Mexico.
Or were you going to take your cocaine stuff?
Yeah, that's right. I'm crafting one in the garage now out of baseboard scraps. I've got a pawn shop miter saw that's working great for my submarine.
Here, funny thing is, when I went to St. Edward's University, there was some guys from Nicaragua that went there as well. And one guy told me, and you're going to like to hear this, that the marijuana they sell on the street there, the buds are as long as rifle barrels, he told me.
Really?
Yeah.
What an odd
interesting
comparison.
Conversation to have with someone.
So that actually reminded me of something else about St. Ed's. So when you went to St. Ed's, which was a few years before me, I think you graduated while I was a freshman, I think.
Probably.
But, Was it when you were going there? I mean, obviously it's a very expensive, like, private school, but But like when I was going there, there were like Saudi princesses and shit, and like
super
elite.
Oh yeah.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was the Prince of Bahrain was actually there when I was there. It's interesting to drive up on campus and see a couple of Ferraris parked out front of Moody Hall.
Wow. I think we had some kind of princess of something or other in my journalism class, and she's pretty hot. She had the body of a princess, that's for sure.
Did she? I think they actually went on to make a movie about her, right? Or a cartoon movie?
Yeah, it was an animated cartoon movie. I think you can find it on RedTube these days.
Yeah, I've seen that one. I was in that one.
No, I'm sure.
How much has St. Edward's changed since I've been there? Do you ever make it by St. Ed's?
Actually, I drive by it every now and then. It looks basically the same from the outside roads, but they do have, like, they've actually got, like, instead of just, like, dorm halls, they've got apartment complexes and stuff, which I had started building my last year there. But now they've got more of them.
Oh, did they really?
Still have but they still have the same old, you know.
Old Main
Gothic
is still there,
Catholic
obviously.
And stuff.
Because I get the alumni magazine, and I'm like, damn, I wish they had that when I was there. Damn, that place is awesome. You know, they got like three different restaurants and some kind of crazy food bar where you can eat it. You know, when I was there, it was like prison food.
Yeah, it was pretty disgusting when I was there, too. But
we broke into the cafeteria one time when I was at St. Edward's. And I can't remember who was running it. Some large corporation was running it. So we unlocked the window. We had this clever idea when I was a freshman. We were going to break in, you know, and steal a bunch of food and take it back to our dorm room and stuff. And we broke in, and there was literally nothing worth stealing. We ended up stealing some Cheerios and a loaf of bread.
Oh, really? It's like breaking into a prison.
To think we could have probably been kicked out of St. Edward's for doing that. I just look back and I'm like, wow, yeah, some Cheerios and a loaf of bread. That's all we could scavenge from our giant break-in.
So what do the Saudi princesses and princes think whenever they're going to this exclusive private college and they're getting a loaf of bread and Cheerios? They're probably not eating that, right?
Pretty sure they did not eat. I'm pretty sure they went back and had their chef whip them up something while they were renting out the top of the fucking Hilton at Town Lake or whatever, the Hyatt. Because most of them live downtown or out by the lake.
I remember there was this one dude, I don't remember where he was from or what his accent was, but I kind of vaguely knew the guy, and I was hanging out with him and some other people, and I said, I'm going to go to McDonald's to get something. And I was driving like a Ford Escort with a standard transmission,
right?
Stick shift.
The Red Escort? The old Red Escort?
Yeah, it was a different one. It was a different one. I had two.
Oh.
It predates Roy.
Stolen?
Yeah, the one that got stolen and the one that I melted the engine block because I never changed the oil, that one.
Ah.
Which happened before Roehampton. But this dude, he caught wind that I was about to go to McDonald's, and he said, hey, can I come? And I said, yeah, whatever, jump in. So we're driving to McDonald's, and he's like, oh, yeah, you can drive a stick shift, huh? And I told him, you know, yeah, I can, and the nightmare that it was learning it. And he said, yeah, my dad bought me a car. And he had some crazy accent that I can't do. So, yeah, my dad bought me a car, and I've never driven it because it has a stick shift, and I can't figure it out, and I don't have the time. I don't care. It's like, oh, yeah, what kind of car is it? I'm thinking Ford Escort. And he's like, it's a Lamborghini.
Yeah, that's so definitely that, some of the people that went to St. Edward's.
Yeah. Well, it's a melting
pot. There were people like me that drove Escorts and VW vans. So, hey, good work on tightening up the Internet Love Song, by the way. Excellent job. So I've listened to
that's
it.
Pretty
Rufus,
good, huh?
I've listened to it like 50 times now.
Sweet. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I was pleased. And I literally just copied that chunk and then pasted it and kind of crossfaded it. And it's, I'm pretty sure that we didn't play it with a metronome, but the it's tight, you know. Who was doing the drums?
That was Chop Suey. Wade Suey. Remember Wade?
Yeah, I do. I do. But he kept a tight rhythm because I just dropped it right in and it fit.
Yeah, I did. You know what? I was going to get around to doing that, but Logic 9 or Logic Pro for Apple is so freaking hard, it's ridiculous. Doing something
really
so easy is like takes 500 steps.
Damn.
And I watched every YouTube video and everything in the whole world, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let Cliff do it. Or let Rufus do it.
Well, Apple...
And look,
I
waited long enough and you did.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so keep that up, and we'll have a whole album done in no time.
Make sure that if you get a chance, update the hypersloth radio.com with that version of the song with the second chorus edit.
Oh, good. Yeah, good idea. So I think now that we decided that we're going to keep just that version of the song, do you think I should keep it a preview on the website, or should I just say here's the whole song?
Up to you. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, philosophically, I think...
Give away the moneymaker.
True, but is the recognition that would come from it? I don't know.
I do understand
that. I have to ponder
it. I do understand that.
I mean, I've been thinking... Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking two things. I don't think we should wait until we have a CD's worth of stuff to put something out. I think let's get...
I agree with that.
Beer Suite's almost done, right? I just got to do one more verse. I think I might do a bridge. And then I'm going to replicate the bass guitar from that old recording because I think it's better. Internet Love Songs in
right,
a can.
Yeah, we definitely need to piece that thing together. The Beer
yeah.
Suite song. And so there's some good parts in that, but that thing goes on for freaking ever. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, it does. It does. But
I think it's obviously more than 3 or 4 verses. It goes on almost 4 minutes, I think.
But that's one of those songs you can write verses for days, though.
Right. And, you know, I mean, probably the best thing to do with that song is pull out a good rhythm track and a good bass track, you know, when it's tight, and just loop it to your needs and then fit in a bridge and maybe add some electric guitar, you know, to the background with the rhythm guitar, something like
right.
that. You're the expert. You're the musical genius.
Well, thank you. But I'm thinking those two are close to being done, at least conceptually. Obviously, Internet Love Song is basically done. Beer is food. We know what to do with.
Right.
We just got to do it.
Right.
If we do one
right.
more, if we got 3 tunes, then we can put out like a demo or an EP or something and go ahead
right.
and put
I
that up on like CD Baby, which will let us sell it through iTunes and the Google thing and everything else. And then we can go ahead and get something rolling, some publicity, and then use that to A, motivate us to keep going, and B,
right, as a springboard.
Yeah, right. It's a springboard for us and for, you know, people to build and maintain interest for an entire CD.
Now, have you had any luck? You know, I need to get into designing a logo or something for Hypersloth. I don't know if you looked into that. I mean, you have all the free vectors and whatnot, or do you through your work as an SEO?
I would probably pay for them for this.
Right. I have a Shutterstock subscription that I can send you the information for.
Okay. I can't willingly accept that on the air.
No, I have a license. I have a license. I can do that.
Okay.
So I'm going to do it. I have it through my work. So you're hired.
Well, thank you, sir. Can I spend all day surfing Facebook?
All right, yes, of course. And crying
okay,
and
great.
Not taking your medication.
All right, well, be warned. If I get unfriended, that's a day off.
Don't worry. I'm going to make sure you guys are friends together, and I want you to unfriend him at least once a day. Because he does such good work when he's been unfriended.
Oh, is that right? Really?
Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome.
Well,
he goes home, he smokes pot, he cries.
Well, as a creator, a songwriter, a poet, being distraught is pretty much the best frame of mind to be in.
He actually considers himself a painter.
Ooh.
But he's your typical artist who, whenever I'm like, what'd you do last night or what'd you do the other day? He's like, I was working on some paintings, and he's been working on like the same 24 paintings since 1986.
Wow. Is he good?
So basically he goes home and smokes Kind Bud and then walks around in a circle with a brush in his hand and like adds one stroke a week to each painting, I think.
Huh.
And I'm always like, hey, get on Etsy, sell your paintings, you know, it'd be a great idea. Get it out there. He's like, I will as soon as they're finished.
There's no telling what the internet will look like at that point. I mean, if he's been painting
right,
since 86.
Virtual. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think he's just he's afraid to put it out there because of his fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm. But that only makes you stronger as an artist.
Well, I
told
him, you know what? What he needs to do if he wants to sell these paintings is put them out in front of his building. He lives in downtown Elkhart here. And put a gun to his head and blow his head off and videotape it, and then I will sell the paintings for him.
Dude, if he blew his head off and the goo like went onto a canvas,
right? That's what I'm saying.
And he like have him pre-sign the bottom of the canvas and then blow his brains out onto it. You'd be super rich and he'd be dead.
My thoughts exactly, Cliff. My thoughts exactly.
And that would be
so
the cover of the new Hypersloth album.
I want you to email him when I get you guys together and tell him that that's such a great idea, because he probably would listen to you.
Oh, is that right? He'd listen to me.
He probably would. I'm his boss, so he doesn't listen to anything I say. It makes too much sense.
Yeah, that's true. So I should tell him, kill yourself in an artful way, and give Zigzag the rights to sell the output.
But make sure that it's videotaped.
Make sure that it's videotaped. Okay.
Right. For proof. We need proof.
Dude.
It's for Sotheby's. Sotheby's is insisting that we get proof that he actually kills himself in front of the paintings.
Yeah, what do they call it? They call it provenance. We need provenance. We need documentation.
That's right. Not up
story.
To me. Right. It's kind of like a certificate of authenticity.
I can see, like, 20 years from now, that brain matter-covered canvas coming into, like, Pawn Stars. And they're looking at it with, like, a diamond loop, and they're like, yeah, that brain matter looks, like, authentic, but let me call a buddy in and make sure.
Mind if I call a guy to come in and check this out? I don't really know a lot about gray matter.
That's right.
Well, they would know him like because, basically, all of his brain cells are dead.
Right? It's obvious these brain cells have been dead for quite a long time, much longer than this painting.
Exactly. Probably the early
80s. Yeah, that's right. The death of these cells predates this painting.
No, he's
like
a good worker. He actually is good at what he does. He just he has to be focused, and he's not focused a lot of the time. God bless him.
He's good
he drinks
at what
a lot
does.
Of coffee.
Well,
he drinks a lot of coffee. Let me put it that way. Spends a lot of time taking giant dumps and taping them and rating them.
Well, what? Doing what and rating what?
Taking dumps, like you were saying, rate by poop or whatever. I'm saying he would be an expert at that, probably.
Yes.
Nothing like fouling up the office toilet and then going home. He lives like 2 minutes from the office, and he gets ready to go home. He goes and takes a huge dump, so everyone has to be afraid of the bathroom. Then he leaves. It's pretty annoying. I think he doesn't have to buy toilet paper.
Sounds like me. The last place I worked. I used to leave that place weekly.
Stuff.
Do what?
You used to do what weekly?
I used to leave the last time I worked in like an office building. Well, no, I guess it was the second to last place. But I used to leave that place weekly with a backpack full of toilet paper because I was dirt-ass poor, but I still had, you know, business to take care of.
You still had to poop?
Well, everybody poops.
Yeah, there's a book called that for kids. Did you know that?
Yes. Did you know that it's actually written in poop on toilet paper?
That I did not know.
It's a poop-up book.
So basically, this is an educational show as well.
Yes,
artful
it is.
And educational.
Mm-hmm. I'm pooping
a
right
poop
now.
Poop up, clever. Are you shitting now, you said?
Yes, I'm shitting now.
You've never talked to someone while they were shitting?
Not to my knowledge. I have. You mean like were they pooping when I talked to them? I've certainly talked to people.
Yes.
Well, I was pooping, definitely.
But you didn't
my
tell
wife,
them.
But I usually tell her.
Right.
I'm like, I apologize if this text message is misspelled. Yeah. I do make it a point if I'm talking to my wife while I'm pooping that I put the phone by the toilet when I flush just to gross her out.
Well, that's pretty nice of you. Very nice of you. But you don't take a picture of it?
I have never taken a picture of it and sent it to anybody.
You're a better person for that.
Yes. Yes.
Why don't you play us out with Internet Love Song, the new version? You got it cued?
Because I didn't upload the new version.
You didn't? I have it right here on my computer. I wonder if it would work.
I don't think so, because I think it's going to be loaded into the studio of Blog Talk Radio. I've got the Beer is Food, where I added the old stuff into the new stuff in the beginning.
All right. Why don't you play us out with that, Jim?
It's missing a second verse, but here we go.
Hard day's work, a tray of fingers itching, open a mouth.
That's a great song right there.
You there? Wow. Did
yes,
you,
are you there?
I guess I didn't listen to the whole thing before, Cliff. Awesome job on that. I mean, that's basically in the can, too, I would say.
I think so. It's close to it. It needs a second verse, and I think it's got room for a bridge or something because it's only 2 minutes and 40 seconds. So, like I was saying, if we got three songs, we got an EP or a demo, what do you think the third song should be? Should it be something totally new that we just write, like, now? Or should we revisit, like, Geriatric Love or Farmer Song or something else? Which are
awesome. I mean, I'm for maybe revisiting something. What do you think?
I could flip a coin.
It's up to
be
you.
Honest with you.
I mean, Geriatric Love is a classic.
It is a classic, but I don't – I'll be honest, man. I remember it being a classic and awesome, but I don't remember any of it.
I do.
Like, no – you do. I don't remember any words or music or nothing.
Helped her use the bathroom with the rubber gloves. I mean, how is that not timeless?
Wow. Okay, that's gold. Is any of that on the old Fostex tapes?
Yeah, actually, it is. It is. And
really?
With drums, even. And I need to upload that. Yeah, that's right after the Internet Love Song on the original Roehampton Sessions tape.
Ooh, I want that. How much of the vocals and lyrics are on that recording?
See, there is no vocals or lyrics. I think you were working at Doubleday that day. But like I said, around here somewhere I have a notebook with all, or even a folder, with all of the Hypersloth lyrics typed out.
Man, if you have that, then let's rock and roll with some old stuff.
I just need to find it. That's the hard part. I need to find it. I need to find out where it is. Probably in my garage, in my old trunk, I would imagine.
Okay, because I got nothing, man. I've got a bunch of old, like, Delaware Sub Shop menus with a lot of stuff written on them.
Right.
But except for Farmer Song, I don't have any of the old Hypersloth lyrics.
Well, I mean, I think I remember most of them, honestly. I just have to sit down and put pen to paper or email them. But, I mean, I think that verse, the other verse for the Beer is Food song, I think we remember that. Those coppers, they don't understand how to have a good time. Every time I'm seeing double, you make it off the line. I mean, you remember that one or not?
Yeah, I did. Actually, you sent it to me, so I've got that one. I need
to
lay that one down.
And
I wrote another one.
And then you actually came up with a pretty solid. You came up with a pretty solid third one.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think I'll.
Well, I think lyrically. You there?
Yeah, I think I'll turn the original second verse that you remembered and emailed to me. I'll keep that as the second verse. And then the new one that I wrote, I was thinking about making a bridge out of that. And then, yeah, that one's in the can. And this is all cut and paste too, man. I just recorded like a verse and a chorus, and I just copied it and, you know, Control C, Control V.
Yeah,
sounds
good. I'm telling you, hearing it on the radio is like, I don't know what it does. It just puts like a sheen on it where you're like, whoa, that's fucking amazing.
It's the compression. So it sounded good on your end because I've got headphones on. It actually sounded a little crunchy.
I got headphones on. It was a little crunchy, but I'm also listening through a cheap set of, you know, Bluetooth headphones. I'm sure that when we get a chance, you know, to maybe remaster these and pay someone, you know what I mean, to make them sound fucking stellar, like people get paid to do, that they just would be fucking unbelievable tracks.
Dude, you know where we can get them mastered? And I've had a song mastered at this place before. It's going to blow your skull wide open. At my last office job at FramesDirect.com, which sold eyewear, they launched a new website that they've already destroyed because they're idiots. But that's a story for another day.
Wasn't that FramesDirect guy like totally insane?
No, FramesDirect, the guys who own FramesDirect, the CEOs are incredibly brilliant, and I have a lot of respect for those guys, but they're pulled in a bunch of different directions by it's a crazy story. And they're extremely successful despite the fact. I mean, they make a shitload of fucking money, and they are the top of the food chain in the online eyewear market. So it's not like they're hurting, but I've got stories and stories about how they're dumb. But I wrote and recorded a song for this one project that we were doing for a marketing effort, and it's probably one of the best things that I've sonically recorded. I don't know if it's the best song, but it sounds stupid awesome. And we got it mastered at Abbey Road Studios in England. The guys
really?
Who did,
what the fuck,
you know,
is that cost?
It costs hardly fucking anything, dude, because you send them digital files, and they'll do it and send it back. It was like $150 for one song, and you got the resume of the guy who did it. And I'll have to dig it up, but the guy who, like, mastered this song had worked on, like, I think a Sting album and Bruce Springsteen, and it sounds totally fucking phenomenal. So...
Well, I mean, can you dig that up? I'd be happy to shell out $150 or whatever it would cost. I mean, I was thinking like $1,000.
Oh, no, 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 no. And with this guy, we sent him like a mixed down MP3, and he made it sound phenomenal. If we can send him like actual individual tracks, because you can do that too, so that he can actually,
well, that's
you
what
know.
And that's how I have, if he has that logic, that's how I recorded it onto the Logic, was individual tracks of, you know, for the Internet Love song, and actually the guitar track and the bass track for the Beer is Food song.
I think they're equipped to do anything. As long as you can get them a track or multiple tracks, they can do it. And I was surprised. I was really surprised what this guy was able to do with just a flat single MP3. Well, it was a WAV file, but it was like a 16-track song with multiple guitars and vocals, and I mixed it down to one WAV file, and he was still able to just make it sound super, super, like, pro and phenomenal. I'll send you a copy of the song. It sounds really good.
Yeah,
it's kind of corny. It's a marketing song, but I think if you listen to it, you'll appreciate just the sonic qualities of it and be like, holy shit.
Well, I mean, that's something we should definitely look into doing then. I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, if we had this guy, there's no telling what this guy could do, or somebody.
I'm looking
staff,
at the Abbey Road,
like, Internet Love Song.
The Abbey Road website right now.
It's not on the Abbey Road website. God, I can't remember. It's actually, maybe it is. Abbey Road
online
Studios.
Mixing, mastering, online mastering. Yeah, they do all that stuff on
That's
here.
That's it. That's who we used. $150.
Really? Yeah, here's their pricing. Mastering per song, £90. Jesus Christ. How do they make any freaking money?
Because they also do multi-billion-dollar record
that
deals.
Out super awesome. Maybe they can also introduce us to someone that can make us rich. Like I said, I'm about to hang this working thing up.
Yeah, me too. I bet they can hook us up.
The non-fun working thing. I don't mind working when it's fun, but... This little boss sucks.
Yeah, being an employee sucks. although working for my company is great. And if my boss is listening, you're super totally cool. But, okay, so here's what I think we should do. Finish three songs. We've got one and a half in the can. Let's do Geriatric Love. Get that one done. We'll send it off to Abbey Road Studios to not only master, but we should expect them to just understand the brilliance and shop it around for a record deal.
And
if they don't,
100%.
Then we'll sue them for $150 back and at least have an awesome EP.
Sending them, because it's so awesome, can we feel like our stuff is protected and they won't try to steal it and give it to some other star who isn't as genius as us?
I would presume that given the longevity and the clout and the history of these guys, that they're probably above board. I mean, who knows, but, you know, it's Abbey Road Studios. They probably wouldn't survive so long if they're all shiesty, at least in that way.
So do you know if you have the name of the guy who did yours?
Yeah, I can
try to figure out if I went Frank Arkwright or Matthew Cocker or Simon Gibson or Ian Jones. Ian Jones has a nice name. Maybe that's the guy we want. Sean McGee. He's a good, like a good Irish lad. Ian Jones, because of his name. Obviously, he's related to Brian Jones. He's got almost all of his name.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet that he's probably related to Brian Jones.
He probably is really Brian Jones who faked his death.
Did he fake it?
But,
or did
yeah, let's
fake it for him.
Good point, Cliff. We should definitely check into that, though. Or maybe we want some of these, one of these younger guys. Maybe one of these younger guys is our guy. Christian Wright looks like a pretty happy guy. Maybe he's the guy we want. He's turning some knobs. Obviously, he knows what he's doing.
Dude, I want to make sure that the guy we get knows his way around a knob.
Well, this guy is our guy, then, I can tell. He has got this knob under his thumb like nobody's business.
Really? Wow.
He's tweaking it. That, I'd say, for lack of a better word, I would say he's definitely tweaking this knob. Hands down,
tweaking
it.
Not just turning
it. Yeah.
Okay. I want a knob tweaker, not a knob turner. Anybody can turn knobs.
Then there's
I'm a tweaker.
But there's a guy putting on his headphones, too, who looks like he could be a contender. This guy's putting on some headphones or taking them off.
Wait.
I don't know. Looks pretty official.
Wait. But what if it comes down to you can either have a guy who can turn knobs or a guy who uses headphones? Then I'm torn. I'm like totally torn.
I'm saying knob guy. Knob guy's your guy then.
Yeah, because they still have the speakers. Okay.
Right. He doesn't even need to hear it. He probably just can like sense it and turn the knob in the right direction.
Well, the sound is coming through the board, right? So he can feel it in the knob.
Right. Yes.
He can feel that track.
He did Radiohead. He did a Radiohead stuff.
And they're a funny band. So there we go.
They are. No one is as funny as Radiohead under the right circumstances.
That's under the right circumstances. That's right. That's right. It's Radiohead and then Weird Al Yankovic.
Basically, yeah. Especially when you're writing songs about farts.
Yes, exactly. Or loving
Radiohead,
old people who need to help you pee.
They are just known for their sense of humor, no doubt about it.
That's true.
I mean,
he did
marry What's-Her-Face.
They are a party band, for sure.
You got to have a sense of humor if you marry, what's his wife's name? Radiohead
guy? I have no idea. Who did he marry?
Some famous actress. I think they named their kid Tomato or something.
Margaret Thatcher?
Yes, actually. It is Margaret Thatcher. How did you know?
God, she's hot.
No, I think he was actually a Thatcher basher.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess he probably was. In a funny way, though.
Right, yes. It was all ironic. Sort of like hipsters drinking Pabst.
Yes, that's right.
And riding single-geared bicycles.
That's so practical.
All right, we better watch out. They're going to look back at this stuff someday, and we're going to alienate the hipster genre. We don't want to do that.
That's true. Since most of the hipsters in Austin are, like, you know, bringing down $500,000 a year, maybe we should suck up to them a bit.
They're all in their late 40s. That's the sad part.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right, I better get upstairs. I think I smell a pork chop.
Yeah, I think I heard the front door shut, which means my life is over until tomorrow morning.
You're in trouble now.
Yes, I am.
All right, well, I'm going to look into this thing with Abbey Road Studios. I mean, I'm even saying, even if we have to send Internet Love Song first, just to find out what these guys can do.
I think they can work some magic with it. I'll dig up that song that they actually did for me at this old employer, and I'll send it away so you can hear it.
Do you have a before and after?
I might.
Yeah,
the after's
awesome.
Pretty good. I'm not sure if I have an after, but I'll definitely. I mean, I'm not sure if I have a before, but I'll send you the after for sure.
All right, Rufus. As usual, always a pleasure talking to you, and keep up the good work.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you Thursday, I guess.
All right. Talk to you later. See ya.
Later.